Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Kelsey Miles. Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
Catch Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow at its brand new time, 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays.
The city of Shanghai started administering an inhalable COVID-19 vaccine. I hear a lot of you saying the same thing I had in my head. I don't know about that.
As long as they're not just crop dusting everyone.
Crop dusting, that's exactly what I think people would be fearful of. I would not trust the Chinese government. I would trust people who really know about inhaling something and the good that it does you. Of course, I'm talking about Dom and Crute.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to the Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
Plenty of people start something great in their 40s and 50s. Getting your retirement savings on track is no different. Go to aceyourretirement.org and in 3 minutes you'll get personalized tips to help boost your retirement savings. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
My Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take,
but early detection allowed us to take control of the situation together.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
MyShiro always goes the extra mile, stretches every dollar, puts others first. But now it's your time, Mom. Get free tips to help boost your retirement savings now at aceyourretirement.org.
Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
If you can plan barbecues and weddings, you can plan to protect yourself from a natural disaster. Sign up for local alerts, prepare an emergency kit, and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
Just a little heads up before something bad happens.
Move your coffee cup away from your computer.
Oh, no, 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 no.
So you can have more control.
Stop. You're texting your boss by mistake.
Uh-oh. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org.
Warning, the cap is loose on that ketchup.
Ugh. Don't wait. You have the power to change the outcome. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
And we're live here outside the Perez family home just waiting for the... And there they go! Almost on time this morning. Mom is coming out the front door strong with a double-arm kid carry. Looks like Dad has the bags. Daughter is bringing up the rear. Oh, but the diaper bag wasn't closed. Diapers and toys are everywhere. Ooh, but Mom has just nailed the perfect car seat buckle for the toddler. And now the eldest daughter, who looks to be about 9 or 10, has secured herself in the booster seat. Dad zips the bag closed, and they're off. Ah, but looks like Mom doesn't realize her coffee cup is still on the roof of the car. And there it goes. Oh, that's a shame. That mug was a fam favorite.
Don't sweat the small stuff. Just nail the big stuff, like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Learn more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
I taught for 20 years, until I started forgetting my lectures.
Eventually, he had to quit. Getting his early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard, but it gave us time to take control of the situation, together.
I can't imagine going through this without him.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/timetotalk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
You are listening to pre-recorded content on Devil Radio. To see our station's entire live lineup, check out devilradio927.com.
All right, all right, all right. Good afternoon, Waukesha, Wausau, Oshkosh, Amory, Wisconsin Rapids, Richland Center, and Madison. I'm your host, Philip Morris, filling in for Kristen Bry here at As Goes Wisconsin. And, you know, I think we're going to talk about something a little different. It is our Random Friday. Jane, what do you know about the birds and the bees?
Well, which way would you like me to take that, Philip?
You know, you could take it any way you like here. Well, you know, I'm going to stretch into a little something different, more so about what's going on in our world. You know, we'll talk about the bees first here. The studies, and I was reading this really incredible study here, honeybees are living half as long today than they were 50 years ago. So they had a shelf life. I guess you'd say their average lifespan 50 years ago was about 34 and a half days. It's about 17 days now.
That's terrible.
That's kind of alarming. You know, and I've gotten to meet and become very good friends with some local beekeepers, and they're not talking about these things. You know, we're typically talking about, you know, the quality of their honey and where they're getting their bees from and this, that, and the other. But when you really think about bees globally, I feel like that's a really big problem. We talk about plants and all that other good stuff.
Without bees to pollinate, without our pollinators, we're going to be living in a much, much, much different world.
I think you're right.
And there has been a lot of encouragement, certainly over the last decade, to encouraging people to plant more flowers, to plant more native flowers, to encourage bees. And butterflies also are big pollinators.
That's
and
right.
To plant milkweed, which we have naturally growing on our alley side of the fence. It is the most aggressive, invasive plant, one of the most aggressive that I've ever dealt with, but it's worth it because we get monarchs every year.
That's right.
and they need help. They're losing habitat. Bees are losing habitat, birds are losing habitat, butterflies are losing habitat, and again, this is how we get tomatoes and cherries and wonderful, yummy things that we all like.
That's right. And I'm a very, very, very big fan of, especially Madison's Farmers Market. I will go ahead and tap them. Jason Ilstrup at Downtown Madison. Keep doing whatever you're doing and everything that's in place for the Madison Farmers Market. Not knocking anyone else's around the state, but that is a fabulous farmers market. But I can't imagine what it would look like if we had no bees. Because you buy your flowers, you buy your vegetables, you buy your plants, you buy everything there, and you think about all the garden centers and all these wonderful places in Exonia and all around the state, that with fewer bees, those places don't exist.
Do you know, Philip, do they have a shorter lifespan? Is this disease ridden, or is this just something that's happening to their life cycle?
You know, I was going on to some scientific periodicals and looking through a lot of the things from the University of Madison and kind of looking through some of the arbor-related things, and it's really a combination. It's pathogens, it's different stressors from a lot of the development and things we're seeing. It's poor nutrition, it's pesticides, it's parasites. It's a combination of a lot of environmental things. It's we have created, and I say we because I think a lot of this is man-made, we've done a disservice to the bees. In trying to, you know, create, you know, whether it's urban sprawl or whatever you want to call it, everywhere, you know, we're looking for this urbanism, you know, this piece of bringing people back to cities and back to communities and back to towns. But I think when we do that, you know, we forget about we need to bring the bees back as well.
Well, you have to have green space.
That's right.
And it's not only good environmentally, it's good mental. It's good for people's mental health to be out in nature. It's good for you to hear those sounds and hear the birds and see the bees.
That's right.
And I know that there has been, we're talking about colony destruction. There was some, like you said, parasite that was getting into some of the colonies. And that is very worrying.
It would be very, I would be very interested in if anybody's out there that would ever call in, or if you could have somebody in the future talk about this subject specifically, because, you know, the outdoors is such a big part of Wisconsin.
Uh-huh.
And we talk about all of our natural habitats, the places that we go, the trails that we're on. We talk about, you know, these wild naturescapes, and we want to bring these things back into the city, whether it's in Waukesha or downtown Milwaukee or Kenosha, it doesn't matter where it's at. But if we can't maintain them, and I think one of the basic things, not talking about fertilizer, what we can get at Menards or at your garden center to put onto it, but the natural things that keep them thriving. I had a client years ago up in Belgium, Wisconsin, kind of north of the Port Washington area, somewhere in that spot. I don't remember exactly where, but it was a new construction, new neighborhood. Every house was on about 5 acres, and it was a dispute between two property owners side by side.
Okay.
And they, you know, just say property owner A on the left had a beautiful garden. They'd spent all this money on landscaping, done all these things. And neighbor on the right, you know, had a kind of just okay garden. It was very natural. He was just kind of letting the things go. But everything was in full bloom. It's beautiful. He had bees. He had a very, very elaborate. And the dispute was neighbor B was accusing neighbor A of coming over and burning his bee house, his beehives down in the middle of the night. Because he said he didn't like the noise. And I said, I have no idea how much noise a beehive makes, but we clearly have a dispute here, and there's been some arson, so we have to, from an insurance standpoint, we have to do something about it and investigate. We come to find out there was, you know, guilt found, but the bigger picture was the neighborhood association never had a problem with it. They allowed it because he was like, we actually found after the first, like, 2 years, we didn't have to spend anything on all this landscape and maintenance. His bees took care of everything in our community. And so when you went and drove to that neighborhood, everything was just amazing and just blooming and exploding. And his bees were very high quality. And those were, you know, it was his treasure. The honey was, something that they did on the side, mm-hmm. which was nice. But I've never put a drop of fertilizer. I didn't have to do these other things to make these flowers grow and bloom and be beautiful. And he was trying to be kind to this neighbor who was kind of just a curmudgeon. And he was like, your plants look as good as they do. It's because my bees, when they do, you know, migrate and go other places, they're in your yard
as well.
They're
visiting you.
That's right. It's a win-win for everybody. But they couldn't, that neighbor on the left, neighbor A, could not get over the fact that I don't want these bees. They're dangerous. They're loud. They're this, that, and the other. And so I had to take it upon myself to do something about it.
I really question the loudness of the bees.
Mm-hmm.
Are we talking a million bees? Okay, if we have a million bees, maybe not even then.
I don't even think it was a million because the size of it, and I equate the, you know, the bee boxes that you kind of see mm-hmm. stacked up.
Sure.
I think it was the equivalent of maybe eight or 10 of those.
Oh, they're not making that much noise.
And that's what I said, because when I kind of come up, I said, you know, I'm asking questions and I'm doing the investigation. I'm like, could you hear them from the street? Could you hear them from the yard? Like, do I have to put my ear next to the hive to hear this? I've never had to investigate this before, so I really don't know how loud bees are. But I've seen enough of the Bob Vila and the old home shows when they say, oh, we didn't know. We had bees in the walls inside the house, and we had 10 million colonies.
Yeah.
And I said, and at that point, it still wasn't that loud. Nobody said, oh.
There are bees in the wall.
There are bees in the wall.
Right. No, I think that's kind of a ludicrous excuse for that. I'm going to say something very controversial right now, Philip.
Okay.
Lawns are stupid.
I would agree, to an extent.
Lawns are stupid, and they're a waste of money, they're a waste of water, they're a waste of space. We should all be growing more naturally occurring plants. And get over the golf course. If you want a perfect lawn like that, then go to the golf course and go for a walk.
You know, I'm not going to disagree with you, Jane, because I don't have a green thumb. Grass is probably one of the few things that I can maintain, only because you just have to cut it. And I say that. I'm going to take that back. My wife would say otherwise. She'd tell me I was lying right now, because our grass was very brown this season because we didn't water it enough. And I think we had an ant issue in some part that was doing other things underground. I don't know anything about grass. All I know is that when it's green and it looks good, I think it's nice.
Yeah.
I like to walk on it barefoot. That's great. But I don't, you know, I would agree. The natural way to go, and if you can maintain that, I think that's for me. I'm like, oh, gosh, because we do have a neighbor in our neighborhood
sure.
that the entire front and backyard is a jungle, but is a beautiful jungle, but it doesn't match everyone else's, so it looks out of place.
Sure. And I'm sure it probably looks a little bit shabby. And like anything, it was funny when Kristen and Mike just bought their house, and she's never had a garden before, and so we were talking about, you know, things that she can plant in spring, and they have a small garden area, and she said, well, can't I just plant perennials, and then they take care of themselves? Sure, but things have to be divided, things have to be cut back, things have to be split, sometimes things have to be moved. They will take over the world. Nature mm-hmm. is very, very persistent, and if she wants to spread somewhere, she's going to go there. So everything takes maintenance. Everything requires a little care, right?
You know, Kristen and I fall in that same bucket, as does Michael. The HGTV has really ruined it for us. Ah. We see these houses that have great and wonderful yards, and we just say like, oh, it's already done. That's great. I paid for it. I planted it, and it's set it and forget it.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh,
no,
I have to do something?
You do.
No, I don't want that part. I like my weekends to be at the game, the bar, the tailgate, the whatever, not out in the yard. My wife loves yard work. I think it's kind of therapy for a lot of people.
It is.
It is not for me. I feel like it's torture.
Punishment.
It's punishment. I don't want to do it. I'm hot. I'm sweaty. And, you know, dirt is not fun. I'm like, I know there are plenty of farmers and plenty of, you know, horticulturists and botanists that love that. I am not one. I will be on the other side. I will help you. I will fund you. I will donate to your cause. But me doing the work, not it.
See, and I do like playing in the dirt. I find it calming. Mm-hmm. I find it grounding. Ha ha.
I see what you did there.
But there is something about the smell of the soil and the smell of the plants I just think I find it rejuvenating, and I find it hopeful.
Well, I think we can find a happy medium there. I think we can get there somehow.
Yeah, definitely.
So I tell you, are we going out? Are we coming back in? We got a couple seconds.
We got about a minute and a half.
We got a minute and a half.
Yeah.
How many times have you been to Phoenix, Jane?
I have never been to Arizona.
So you'd probably like Arizona, not for Arizona itself, but they despise yards and lawns there because they can't grow them. It's too hot. They can't waste that much water, and so it cracks you up when you see the naturescapes of people that have spent a lot of money to spray paint rocks.
Do they, what, oh, green?
Green.
You'll Come see, on.
You'll see entire yards of green rocks. You'll see entire yards of, you know, the very high dollar ones. They put the artificial astroturf in so they can have the yard, but there's no yard there.
Well, now the artificial astroturf, if people are dead set on having a stupid lawn, then that's the way to go. Then go that way. You don't have to water it. They really do require an enormous amount of water, and that is going to continue to be a bigger and bigger issue as time goes on.
This
so I'm all pro AstroTurf, or fine, just, you know, don't put concrete on it. Paint your rocks if that makes you happy.
That'll work.
That works too. Absolutely.
I love it. All right. Well, it looks like we're going to go to break, so we will be back after the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin on Civic Media Network.
Listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote. Get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, and our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
We're going to show a video of Roger Stone recorded by Danish filmmakers.
Just Google Roger Stone Monopoly Man.
You remember the old Batman TV series? He looks like the Penguin.
It's like a bad costume for A Christmas Carol.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And I know that firsthand because I was in that every year as a kid. Always a street urchin, never a cratchit.
That needs to be the title of your autobiography. Always a street urchin, never a cratchit.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Clear skies overnight with a low of 33. Southwest winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Mainly sunny tomorrow, high of 55. Overcast tomorrow night, chance for scattered rain showers, lows around 37. Upper 30s Sunday, with a chance for scattered showers. Low 40s, a blend of clouds and sun Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 36 degrees.
We're back. Jane, I think we're going to continue talk about the birds and bees because I'm really enjoying this conversation.
Great.
And so in here, let's talk about the birds for a minute.
Sure.
What do you know about birds and divorce?
I'm sorry, birds and divorce?
Yes. I said, so I was reading an article and it was actually really good. And I kept going back to it. It talked about the divorce rates of birds are higher with birds that travel long distance, because we talk about the seabirds and we talk about these other birds that are looking constantly for warmer weather to get to those clients to be in, you know, hopefully warmth and sunshine year round. And breakups apparently are common. So birds of certain species are not mating because their mates are going longer distance on these migrations and not coming back, or they're coming back at such a length that, you know, by the time they return home, they're like, I couldn't wait for you. I found somebody else.
Wow.
Like, and I started thinking about that. I was like, well, nature is really, really reflective of what we do in kind of our human side. And I said, for me, it kind of tunes in something. It's like, you know, I love my wife, love my family, the kids, everything. And I look at them sideways because I don't travel long distance, meaning long haul to the UK and around the world. But I go from Wisconsin to Florida or to California. I'm all across the country throughout the year, several times per month sometimes. And you start thinking about that. It's like, man, maybe our divorce issues in the country and just maybe even the world come from proximity. You're not close enough, literally and physically.
I knew a guy once who would not date anyone who lived in Milwaukee, who would not date anyone in Chicago because he said she was geographically undesirable.
Oh, wow.
Because it was too far.
You know, I've heard about all kinds of desirabilities, but geographically undesirable.
Isn't that hilarious?
I might have to use that one. I have some friends. Hey, when you're trying to break up with, you know, so-and-so, let them know it wasn't them.
Right.
You know, it's not me either. It's the geography.
It's just geographically, it's not going to work between us, unfortunately. Wow. How sad.
Well, that's crazy. It's, you know, in this article and some of the things, again, I start digging into the stuff. You know, it says 90% of bird species are socially monogamous. And so you start thinking about that and you're like, wow. And typically they don't, you know, breed with other and raise another bird's offspring. And so when you really start talking about the divorce rates of birds going up, it's like, what does that mean? Again, we just talked about the bees. What happens there? What does that mean for the birds and these other things in our waterways and our natural habitats? It's like, start asking questions about, you know, from the top to the bottom, the top of the food chain. You talk about your big birds of prey all the way down to our little songbirds and our hummingbirds and all those things. You know, we have a really good butterfly and I think a hummingbird garden at our elementary school. And what happens if we run out of, you know, the bees aren't pollinating that, and then we don't have any hummingbirds, we don't have any butterflies? I feel like there's a very large, not even trickle down, but a roll up of what happens to the rest of us when we talk about our habitat and our food supply.
There's no question. We are carbon-based life forms, and we are all of a piece. Right?
Yes.
I mean, everything is interconnected. Everything, as much as I hate mosquitoes, somebody must eat them. And they serve up slugs. You know, I mean, everything, there are purposes for things that we may not exactly understand, but there's a reason they're in in the chain of things.
You're correct there, because I tell people all the time, I said, especially from Florida, I despise a mosquito. And Wisconsin doesn't have the mosquitoes that we have down in Florida, obviously. But the ones we do have, they find me.
Do they love you?
I am like caviar to them. I am delicious and tasty. They like me a whole lot more than my wife does. And, you know, the kids on occasion. But I tell you, they find me. And we could be sitting, and I love being out in the backyard and out with friends. Mm-hmm. I could wear a turtleneck, long sleeves, and, you know, snow pants on top of what I'm wearing. They will still find their way to me. And I go home with welts. They are.
That's awful.
It's terrible.
Oh, did you have that even as a kid?
I did. I've always been that one. And I said, I wonder which one of my kids, of my three, which one is going to get this, as we say, the sweet blood that the mosquitoes love. So far, we're all in the same places. I'm still the only one that gets eaten alive.
Well, you're larger, so you probably send off more of a scent right now. Maybe as they grow a little bit bigger.
This is true.
They'll give you a little competition, and you'll find out which one.
I'm hoping so. You know, I don't wish it on them.
Sure. You're going to put that child in front of you. And it's like, go for this one. Go. Take him.
You got to have sacrifices. But you say that, and, you know, it took me to a thought here with the last two summers. We've had a bat in our house. And, you know, old house problems, we have these things. And they show up in they're never opportune times. But
never.
They show up in the middle of the night when you see something out of the corner of your eye, and you're like, and I tell people, a little 2-inch brown bat, mm-hmm. when you see one in your house, looks like it's 5 feet.
Without a doubt.
And I tell you what, I don't do rats, I don't do mice, I don't do bats, and I don't do snakes. You know, I'll step on a spider, unless it's a big spider. Then I'm going to leave the house and throw the matches back in with the gasoline. I don't do well with the creepy crawlies. And so, everybody...
And you grew up in Florida, is full of them.
Full of bats, full of mosquitoes. But I have now respect for it, because we have it's not our tree, but the neighboring yard behind us has this massive tree. It's dying. It doesn't have much foliage. But what it does have, it's a habitat for birds of prey and tons of bats in the evening.
Wow.
And so I always wonder, I'm like, oh, we rarely have mosquitoes at all in our yard. And I said, that's why. So we don't want to get rid of the bats. I don't want them in my house, but stay in that tree. And so one of our neighbors a couple doors down has where they've installed a bat box. Have you ever seen these, Jane?
I haven't.
So these boxes, so it's kind of, it keeps them from going into your home. So they all go here outside of your house. And in this little, I'd say 2-foot by 18-inch box, that's no more than 4 or 5 inches in depth, they attach inside your house, you'll have sometimes hundreds of bats that will go there because they're protected from the elements and the other birds of prey. And so I was like, I don't want to invite them to the yard, but if it'll keep them out of the house, I'm kind of okay with that.
Isn't the guano an issue?
If you have lots of them, you know, we were very fortunate that we only had one bat. And what we learned was they said, you know, typically if you have bats in your home, bats, you know, no matter where we displace them, unless we kill them, they will come back.
Really?
They imprint basically on where they're from. So you could take them 100 miles away. They will find their way back at some point back to where they started.
This is where I belong.
That's right. So I don't know. I won't wish it on you. I don't want you to have any bats in your house. But yes, when you do, let me know. I will tell you from personal experience, you will not sleep.
Well, we used to have him in the, my father was a mortician, and we lived in a big house, and we lived upstairs, and we used to get them regularly in the back hallway, and I just remember my father and my brothers running up and down the steps of this, to get down to the back door, trying to, with a fishing net.
That's right. We keep them in the garage now.
To get the bats. And so those are my bat memories.
I guess we all have bat memories.
Of some kind or another.
Of some kind, that's right. Well, we'll be back after the break. This is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha, WAUK 540 AM, always streaming at waukradio.com.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio, Dana Perry. Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
Governor Tony Evers, Tim Michaels, said you had gone, quote, full woke. Dr. Jill Underlie said that somebody who says that has no idea what we're doing in schools to make sure kids feel safe.
We want to make sure all kids feel supported. Tim Michaels, we don't teach CRT in our schools. You got to come to the present century here, Tim, and be cognizant of what actually goes in the schools. My guess is you've never been in a public school in Wisconsin.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
It's Friday.
Oh, it is Friday.
It was a short week, and it still feels like it was a long week. And we did it.
We did. Well, we're almost done. We almost did it.
We're almost through today. But we did it. We live to tell about it. We're having fun.
Yeah. All kinds of fun things planned for today.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Our guest is Kristen Elfheim, who is the state Senate candidate for District 19 in the Fox Valley.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
There are really good people that have been in Madison on both sides. And if we're not letting the strongest problem solvers win, we're making a mistake.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
You care for the house, the kids, and our future. A Shiro's day is never done. So let's start saving a little more now. Get free tips to help boost your retirement savings. Visit AsiaRetirement.org.
Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting. A Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
Today I'm going to help parents translate teen slang. Now, when a teen says something is on fleek, it's exactly like saying, that's rad. It simply means that something is awesome or cool. Another one is totes. It's exactly like saying, totally, just shorter. As in, I totes love going to the mall with Becca. Another word you might hear is jelly. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will think you're, rad, just the same. To learn more, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Morning, Mama. How you feeling?
Great, and I'm ready for you today.
I'm checking in on ya. Morning meditation?
Check.
Dressed and ready to work out?
Check.
Check your blood pressure yet?
And check.
Boom! Great job, Mom. And about those gold earrings.
No, ma'am.
Now more than ever, it's important that we protect our hearts and the hearts of those we love. Monitor your blood pressure daily and help each other stay motivated. Rally your squad to take the online pledge at releasethepressure.org. Brought to you by the Release the Pressure Coalition and the Ad Council.
We stand on the shoulders of women who came before us.
Women who fought for their own financial futures.
And now it's our turn.
Join us. Visit WeSaySaveIt.org and take control of your financial future by saving for retirement.
A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
So if you're lonely. All right, and we are back once again. And we're going to switch gears here a little bit. We've got some things that have taken place here, and it looks like, you know, we've run into a space where Republicans have retaken control of the House. Jane, what does this mean for the sun? Have you heard about this Sunshine Protection Act?
Oh, are we talking about daylight saving time?
Yes.
So they want to move to DST permanently.
Correct. Correct.
So we would never go. We wouldn't fall back.
That's right.
We would always be ahead.
And so I was listening to this, and I hear, you know, Senator Marco Rubio talk about it. And, you know, I started thinking about this, and I was like, is this good? Is it bad? I don't really know. What, you know, we talk about, you know, why it was there, you know, originally for the farmers. It dates back to 1918, and it was supposed to save energy. And then we've just adjusted to it all this time. And, you know, it started at 6 months, and it got extended to eight months. And, you know, you don't know these things go on around you. You just know that the calendar says it's daylight savings time, roll forward, fall back, whatever it is. And so I started digging into that one on there because clearly if it's a political topic, we have to know what's behind it. You know, I don't want to see something, hey, this is the Sunshine Protection Act, and then we've all of a sudden buried 500 different things underneath it that have just been attached to it, as we like to do in the government.
I've heard they do that sometimes.
I've heard that a time or two.
Hmm.
But, you know, when you look into the other parts, you know, I started asking and looking around for, let me hear outside of the political reasons on why this should or should not be. But there's a lot of stuff out there that's linked to daylight savings time when it comes to long-term health effects. And I never would have thought about this. But depression, slowed metabolism, weight gain, cluster headaches, and then there's some huge studies in these medical journals. Cardiovascular disease increases 24%, and the risk of heart attacks goes up. Injuries, 6% spike in fatal car accidents when the time changes. Stroke rates increase by all these, you know, these incredible numbers. And I'm like, what is going on here? And so you start asking those questions there. Is there a broader health hazard that maybe this is a good thing? What are your thoughts, Shane? Have you ever, you know, thought about when the time changes? Are there some other things that are going to affect us here, you know, physically, mentally, emotionally?
Well, certainly. I mean, we're trying to trick ourselves, mm-hmm. right? We're basically trying to trick our own bodies because nothing is essentially changing.
That's right.
We're just changing our schedule.
That's right. And I could see some of those things. And when you think about, you know, for the farmers and agriculture, yes, grab some more things. You know, I'm from Florida. I immediately thought of, you know, from a selfish reason, like, oh, that's Disney. Disney's pushing it. They want more daylight to sell more tickets, to keep people in the park longer and keep them in there later so we can make more money. That may not be.
No.
Nobody quote me on that because I don't believe that's the reason, but that's where my mind went. But when you think about the rest of the country, you know, we rented a cabin during COVID and went up to northern Michigan, and we were on the lake up there. And I had never been up there before. And I will tell you, I understand now why people go up north, whether that's Wisconsin, Minnesota, Michigan, wherever it's at. I'd never been in a place, and I've always heard about the things about Alaska and their summers and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
We had sunlight. We had daylight, Jane, until after 10 p.m.
Isn't that crazy?
It is extremely crazy to me because I'm like, so do we eat second dinner? We're still awake. I don't know what to do.
I can't go to bed now.
I now understand why those neighbors that we met during this vacation are drinking until like 3 in the morning. They're sitting in their hot tubs out by the lake because it's not quite late.
Yeah.
And so your day starts, you know, and so kind of your day starts at a normal time, but your day is extended. And so I started thinking about all the things. I'm like, well, if I did have like, you know, true extra time, what would I do? Does that create more of a problem? Because now we want to get more done. So we rest and we sleep less. And so we actually cause ourselves more harm because we're doing more and not getting the rest that we want and that we should, that our bodies probably actually need.
I think we should get rid of daylight saving time.
Okay, so you're in agreement.
I think we should stay with standard time.
Okay.
All the time.
Okay.
And I know it's depressing to get up when it's dark and to go home when it's dark. And we are in the worst stretch of it now because on the 21st, we start going in the opposite direction.
That's right.
Even though it seems like it's much harder to mark because we're in the middle of winter, that it is actually getting lighter later.
That's right.
I think it's not as noticeable for us. But there is something unnatural about again, trying to pretend that we've added something when we haven't added anything.
That's right.
The blanket is still a 6-foot blanket.
That's right.
You know, it's not like, so we're cutting off the bottom of the blanket and adding it to the hot top half of the blanket, and then we're pretending we have another hour, and we don't.
I'm going to play devil's advocate here because my science fiction brain jumps in sometimes and takes over. What if they were lying to us? Like, what if they did stretch? Like, how would we know if the world clock are we still getting the same 24 hours? Or have they stretched it on us and where it's actually 26 hours? None of us know it. We just feel a little bit tired, more tired, and they just manipulate these times to benefit them because those worker bees need to get back to work.
Ooh, that's a very villain. That's a super villain kind of thought there,
it really
Phillip.
Is. Well, and you know, I think that, and that's come to my mind during COVID because I said, and I think a lot of people agreed with me. You're like, that year felt like the longest year ever. Like it wouldn't, like time stood still. And then we come forward 1 year, and it feels like we're in fast forward. We hit the button, and I feel like we've got less hours in the day. There's less time to get anything done, and we're at this hyper-acceleration mode. And so my goal and my hope is that 2033 or 2023 comes around, that we're back into whatever was normal. But I can't even – nobody can remember it well enough pre-pandemic to know what was normal. But I know that my personal internal clock has been haywire for the last 2 years.
Really?
And it's like – I think I'll know personally when it feels kind of back to normal, and I feel like we're in a really good, okay, that felt normal. Because I've always worked and processed on little sleep, but I feel like I get even less. And what's funny is I'm getting more, but by from what the the Apple Watch and the clock tells me, mm-hmm. but it feels like the same amount. It feels like I'm still only getting 5.5 or 4.5 hours. Because I said I could feel it, the physiology doesn't feel right. And so I wonder if other people are feeling the same way.
You're not feeling rested.
Correct.
You're not feeling right. I don't know. I think when our dog Barkley was alive, the time change screwed him up for eating times.
Oh, yeah.
And so instead of only staring at me for 30 minutes waiting to get fed for dinner, he would stare at me for an hour.
That's right.
Waiting to get fed. And again, we're trying to trick ourselves into thinking something that exists that doesn't. Mm-hmm. And if anyone is behind wanting to keep daylight savings time, it's got to be bars with volleyballs.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's accurate.
Right?
That's accurate.
We want to keep the kids in the bar. We want to keep them on our volleyball court to be here, you know, so it's light until 9:30. It's light until 10 o'clock. And I'm sure there are all kinds of businesses who want to see this made permanent because it will encourage people to stay out longer.
You know, you're absolutely right there. And, you know, think about those things and it's, you know, what can you do to get beyond that? You know, changing and coming up with a new standard routine, I think will probably help, you know, and kind of stop looking for the spaces. And I know I'm one of those of chasing the morning light. It's like, I want to keep it dark as long as I can, because I know that the day is officially started when the sun is out, when I hear the birds for the first time. And going back to the birds and the bees, I will say that regardless of what time of year it is, I said, I have a very good internal clock. And I said, it's always the birds. I said, I've always been natural to hearing the sounds of when it's morning. I know that the morning doves, I know these birds are outside, typically somewhere around my house because they're very loud.
Yes.
Especially in the spring.
Sure.
And I said, but you start looking at those things of the birds and the rabbits, when the rabbits are out in the grass, when you see, you know, just nature. Nature will tell you what time it is. And growing up in Florida, I had a lot of friends whose parents were from the islands. You know, they were from Haiti and the Dominican. And what was always funny is they tell time by the sun. They don't have watches or clocks. They can go out, they go outside and they look up and I was always fascinated. I'm like, teach me that. You know, we can all get pretty close to what high noon looks like. And I said, you know, that's pretty close. You know, it's somewhere close by. You're plus or minus a little bit, but they could tell you to the minute.
Seriously. It's 2:40. They could tell it was like 2:45 in the afternoon.
2:14 in the afternoon.
Seriously.
And I said, it's the craziest thing. But then you start thinking about primitive cultures. Go back to other parts of the world where there are no clocks and there are no towers. And there, you know, I learned a whole history downtown at a lecture here a couple of weeks ago about, you know, the status of wealth of wearing a timepiece and having a watch. Most people looked for, you had the, whether it was on the church or on the big tower in mm-hmm. town, that's where they learned what time it was, or from the church bells. And I said, oh, you don't think about these little basic things. Everybody's got an Apple Watch or an Android watch these days. Everybody's got a phone that's got the time on it. But for a lot of people, for so many, you know, centuries, you know, how do they tell time?
Think about it if you've done any traveling in Europe.
Oh, yes.
And town squares have a clock.
That's right.
Because that was the clock for the community.
That's right.
That was it.
Well, what do we have in Milwaukee? The Allen Bradley clock tower?
Allen Bradley clock. That's right. Yeah. I mean, and you'll see it here too. But that was the center of everything. And you're absolutely right. Having your own watch was a sign of status.
That's right. And I said, you know, I guess we've all got status now, but that status has been diminished quite a bit over these years here. It doesn't quite go as far.
You're not quite as special as
you. Hey, Jane, let's take our watch down to the bank and see what we can barter for it and get to that level.
Yeah, I don't think that's, at least not with my watches. Yeah. So your Apple Watch, I mean, are you a watch aficionado otherwise?
I do love watches, and I have a small collection, but I'm very particular about the watches that I have. My wife bought me a new watch for my birthday this year, added it to the collection. I have worn it off and on. I choose to wear an actual watch outside of the Apple Watch, for the occasion, not a daily wearer. My Apple Watch is my daily wearer because it is uber convenient. I'm like, it tells me time. I can check my email. I said, I can use my GPS on it. I can make a phone call from it. There's all these things that it does that makes it very hard for me to put it down.
Sure. Brooklyn, I want you to jump on mic for a second. Do any of your contemporaries, and we're not talking about Apple Watches and things like that, but a regular watch, do any of your friends wear a watch?
No. I don't think so. I have like a little one my mom gave me, but it's really old. So I don't really wear it unless I'm like dressing up. But I don't think any of my friends do know.
So it's not even as a cool retro thing or
no, it's just like Fitbit or Apple Watch. Yeah. And even then, I don't think my friends really use any of those things either. But I don't know. I'm just like, if I need to see the time, I'll just check my phone.
Right.
Yeah.
That's like the most Gen Z thing I could have said, but it's true.
It is absolutely true. And it said, you know, I look at my kids are almost 8, 5, and 2. And my 8-year-old has asked for a Fitbit like 20 times
because
that's what kids have. Mm-hmm. Didn't ask for a watch. You know, he's every now and but then he wants, I want an iPhone. I'm like, you're not getting a phone. You're not getting a phone until you're 19. I didn't have a phone until I was 19, you know, but then again, those years we had a pager. And I had a pager for all of a year because I got in trouble and it got taken away. And you probably don't even know what a pager is, do you?
I remember my mom had one for a long time, but like I didn't really understand what it was. And then all of a sudden she had like a phone, like a cell phone. So then my brain is just like, I didn't know that it was a pager actually until kind of recent. And she was like, you don't remember I used to carry that like kind of bulky thing around? Mm-hmm. I was like, that's what that was?
That's right. That thing. So the pager to her generation, that Gen Z, mm-hmm. is what the 8-track was to us, you know, topside millennials. And, you know, it's going to be crazy because I don't know what they're going to call my kids. I don't know what they're, do they have a, I don't think so.
What is their designation? Are they going to have to start with alpha, beta? I mean, we ended up at Z, so where do they go? You know, Z point one is not going to be very.
Jane, you're actually right. It's Generation Alpha.
Is it Generation Alpha?
I just Googled it, yeah. Gen Alpha.
Yeah.
That's actually incredible.
You got to start somewhere. So
they're going to start from scratch.
That's going to be a lot of pressure for those alpha kids, that alpha generation.
Man, I can't even fathom like what, you know, we joke because we have those pieces in there with these younger ones of my oldest is like, you know, I can't wait to drive. And like, I got news for you. I don't know that you will drive. I said, I think we might be an automated, you know, fully autonomous vehicles by that point. There'll be no need for a driver's license. There'll be no need for this. You're just going to go outside and, you know, you're going to use your iPhone or whatever the technology of the day is and order your transportation that's going to take you there or hop in Elon's Hyperloop system and jump in a tube and get blasted off someplace else.
Yeah, I would hold off a little bit on the Elon tube, perhaps. And I do believe that self-driving is coming. I'm not feeling too confident about it right now.
Okay.
There have been some news reports with things crashing and exploding and taking off and hitting walls, and that raises some concerns.
I believe it should, but like everything else.
The Hyperloop, it's going to like, okay, you guys all go first.
That's right. That's right.
And then I'll meet you in a couple weeks.
Yeah, all those smart boomers and the smart Gen Xers are like, I'm not getting to that.
No.
We're not doing it.
You go. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I love it.
Your turn.
Well, good enough. I said it sounds like we're going to go to a break here shortly. And so we'll be back after the break. And this is As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
The Republican Party on a national level, how many years did they investigate Hillary and Bill? They're still going to that.
They're still looking for her emails, right? But they don't look in the Trump septic tank for half the top secret classified documents that he was flushing during his term. When one party doesn't care about governing, just don't allow anything to happen when the Democrats are in charge. And then they think the American people are going to get boonswoggled and vote Republican again.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Courage. I learned it from my adoptive mom.
Hold my hand.
You hold my hand.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care at AdoptUSKids.org. You can't imagine the reward. Brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
I'm just texting him back.
I'm just posting a story.
I'm just changing the song.
I'm just...
No. When it comes to distracted driving, just don't. Sending a text takes your eyes off the road for just 5 seconds, but in that time, your car can travel the length of an entire football field. Any distracted driving just isn't worth it.
Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration,
Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Clear skies overnight with a low of 33. Southwest winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Mainly sunny tomorrow, high of 55. Overcast tomorrow night, chance for scattered rain showers, lows around 37. Upper 30s Sunday with a chance for scattered showers. Low 40s, a blend of clouds and sun Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 36 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Got another confession to make. I'm your fool. Everyone's got the chains to break.
All right, and we're back again. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin. And hello, good afternoon, Waukesha, and all of our wonderful cities that we're broadcast in. Call or text anytime at 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. And so I want to continue the conversation, Jane, with our wonderful Brooke as well, because I have lots of questions now. Now that I have a space and a time, and I do take time out to speak with Gen Z when I can, but it's, you know, we all have busy lifestyles, and it's not often that you get into a space where you can have that conversation. So I want to ask you, Brooke and Jane, feel free to chime in. What does Gen Z want? I'm here to help guide and mold and push anything I can in your direction, because you guys will be the next biggest workforce out there behind us millennials. And I'm a topside millennial. So I need to know, as I'm doing the things I'm doing out there, to be very aware and conscious of the decisions I make. What is it that you want? I don't want to make any assumptions.
This is a good question. I feel like, and this is something I've thought about actually a lot recently, because of like topics we've talked about on the show and just like things I've read and like conversations I have with my friends, I feel like in like the aspect of like, what does Gen Z want? Cause like, we're still like, a lot of us are still in our early 20s. Mm-hmm. Like this is my first like full-time career with benefits and all this. And I'm like, oh, I feel like such an adult, but I'm talking to my friends that are now about to graduate and like trying to figure out what they want to do. And I feel like, and I agree with this, I feel like, especially after the pandemic, a lot of Gen Zers want jobs that are flexible.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people like remote work.
That's right.
My ADHD brain, I need to be here, because if I stay home too long, I'm doing a million other things. My brain's elsewhere. I need to be like in that space. Yeah. Otherwise, I'm like, what did I do for the last hour and a half? Oh, stared at my dog. I don't know. And then also just, I feel like Gen Z has started like this conversation of, and we talked about this on the show once, like quiet quitting and stuff like mm-hmm. that, where it's like not doing more than what your job description says. So I feel like we like, you know, and this is probably why some people say Gen Z is lazy, no one wants to work, but it's, I think it's like this, now this generation of like, we don't feel like we should break our backs and kill ourselves for our jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And we should be able to work in an environment that's flexible and understanding and where we can get work done, but we're not like, it's not our whole lives. Because I saw a very interesting tweet that said that this woman said that she job hops every 2 to 3 years. And then every time she does, she negotiates a higher pay than what she did at the other job. And she was saying how we're kind of moving out of this place of like, you know, a lot of our parents, like my parents have worked at the post office since they were 18 and 20. They're now 45 and 47. My mom's birthday was the other day. but yeah, it's like we're kind of getting out of that mindset of like, you stay at this job, you be loyal, you stay there for as long as you can, no matter what, no matter how you're being treated. And I think now it's like, we want to, like I said, work in places that are more flexible, be treated a certain way, feel like we're equal, but also just have that like peace of mindset of like, when I go home, I don't want to have to think about work all day.
That's right.
So that's what I think. I don't know.
You know, and Jane, and you probably chime in here, said, I think there's something to be said there, because between 2018 and 2022, you know, I went from my last company I was at for almost 7 years. And, you know, when I was younger, coming out of college, thinking about that, oh, got to find the American dream. I go to school, get a good job, going to work there for the next 20, 30 years. that started to change for me, where I started looking at things and, oh, I'm going to have a 5-year and a 10-year plan with this company. And now once we came through COVID, I really looked at things from a almost 2 to 4 year period now. And that'll probably change as we go forward. And I remember when I had probably my first or second resume all those years ago, you know, and I was a person, I started working when I was 16 as soon as I could because I just wanted to work. I wanted to learn. I wanted to do things. I wanted to be in control of something that I could put my hands on. And I remember getting, having conversations like, oh, your resume is too long. You've got too many things. You don't have enough time here. And, you know, I always thought it was like, I need to do more to have more experience. So I would have 2 and 3 jobs at a time just so I could overlay, hey, I learned about retail, I learned about hospitality, I learned about, you know, media and things like this, because I thought that would make me a better, more well-rounded. But we are pushing people into these silos of specialization. And I think Gen Z, they could care less about specialization. I want to be an influencer and have influence on everything. I might, you know, I'm not a fly by night, but I have interest and I'm multi-hyphenate. You know, I've found and met some very, very sharp Gen Zs, you know, both here in the state as well as, you know, around the country. And I just think it's, you know, I have a new faith in meeting them because I feel like we're not in a bad place like a lot of people that are probably in their 70s, 80s, and 90s that are still here that are like, oh, these Gen Zs and these millennials are going to be the death of us because they don't know how to do this and they're entitled, blah, 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 blah. But I think it's just different. It's a different way. It's a different time.
There's no question. But I, as far as being able to job hop every 2 to 3 years and get a bump in pay, that's entirely dependent upon how the economy is doing.
This is true.
And you can only do that when the economy is good. Mm. And so they're going to have to be adaptable as far as that goes, because when downturns come, if you're going to be glad you have a job. You know, after the crash in 2008, after the housing market crashed and everything crashed, and I remember very, very, very clearly being told, be grateful you have a job.
That's right.
And I was. But unfortunately, as things started to improve, the treatment of the employees did not keep up. Mm-hmm. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do.
There was not the compensation that came. Everybody took pay cuts, you know, after the great crash, and you put your years in and you think things will get better. And at least in the industry that I am in and have always been in, that never came back.
You know, I had a tweet and a post on LinkedIn a few weeks ago, and it was about motivated employees. And it was talking about the difference between a Gen Z and the Gen Xers out there. And it had more to do with resilience and persistence. And I got a lot of really good kudos, but then I had people call me and reach out like, I don't know if that's true. I said, we want to know that. And I think everybody wants to know that the Gen Zs are resilient enough to weather the storm, to work at a place, be there long enough to know that I can work here when it's good times, but I can also make it through when it's bad times and make tough decisions and let go of my friend or let go of an entire department. And we know that you're productive. We know that you're capable. We know that you're reliable. I said, but then dependability, perseverance, and essentially that ability to weather the storm is the unknown, because it's hard to weather a storm if you've only been in a place for a year or 2 years. Mm-hmm. Because there may not be any storms. The economy is great. Oh, the job is easy. Well, go through a sour economy, go through a recession, and tell me how you made it through and what you learned along those things, because those are the things that we can't teach in school. Can't teach what the hard times look like.
And the accompanying sacrifices that might have to be made.
That's right.
For those things.
That's right. You know, I have a lot of faith in you, Brooke, and I said you are the spokesperson for your entire generation.
Yes,
right now, just so you know.
No pressure. It's all on you.
I am now nervous and sweating. Thanks.
No worries. It's Friday. It's okay. You can be nervous, sweaty, because you can leave here and go to, hopefully, are you old enough to go to happy hour?
I am. I'm actually going to Indiana when I leave here to visit my friend in Purdue. So
hooray, Indiana.
We'll find a happy hour out there.
We'll find a happy hour. We're going to take it to the break. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Network.
WAUK will be broadcasting the Waukesha Christmas Parade live, and you can become a sponsor. Call us at 262-232-8164. Sponsorship includes an on-air interview during the live broadcast of the Christmas Parade. A portion of the proceeds goes directly to the Waukesha Memorial Fund. Please call at 262-232-8164. 262-232-8164. That's 262-232-8164.
The radio show your mother warned you about.
Actual tyranny of a dictator. Dictator's going to dictate Putin. And what did Trump do? Trump kneeled to the man. Embarrassing Republicans. And you're still with the guy? This is your front runner in 2024? Are you even smoking some of Mike Lindell's crack? What are you thinking?
They're the GCCCP.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.